give us an update on the gambling assistance program, and I'd asked him to come. It's a program that I know Representative Racker was very involved in a number of years ago, and I think it's an important program, and I think it's important for us to be following it in terms of how things are going with Iowans and gambling addiction. So with that, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and give the mic over to you, and thank you again for being here. We apologize again for not being able to get you on the last time you were here. And with that, I'll turn the mic over to you.
Oh, there it is. I needed a quick tutorial. Thank you to all of you for inviting me to present on the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program, and thank you for the extra week to prepare. Again, my name's Mark Vanderlinden. I'm the coordinator of the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program. So in essence, oversee all the programs which are funded through the Iowa Gambling Treatment Fund. The mission of the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program is to minimize the risks and harms associated with problem gambling. During the past 20 years, Iowa has seen a boom of gambling opportunities. In 2008, we have 20 casinos, 2,600 lottery outlets, over 3,000 social and charitable gaming licenses, and countless internet and other illegal gaming opportunities in the state. What this has created is easy access in every county and every community across the state. The Iowa Gambling Treatment Program recognizes that problem gambling is an issue that profoundly impacts not only the individual, but everybody connected with that individual, so including the family, including the community. In order to take this on, we utilize a broad community-based strategy. I'll go into that in a minute. For most people, I want to be clear, gambling is recreational. In fact, research has shown that between 80 and 88% of adult Iowans gamble. However, for some people, gambling leads to serious, debilitating, and even life-threatening problems. In 1989 and again in 1995, studies measuring the prevalence of problem gambling were done in Iowa using an independent national research firm. And both studies examined the lifetime prevalence rates of problem gambling among the general population of adult Iowans. In 95, 5.4% were indicated to have either a problem or pathological gambling, and that's up from 1.7% back in 1989, prior to many of the gaming opportunities in the state. Current national prevalence studies show a prevalence of between 3 and 4%, which includes 1 to 2% prevalence of pathological gamblers. Real quick, how do you distinguish between a problem gambler and somebody who sees gambling as recreational? On the fact sheet to the right side are the 10 signs and symptoms of problem gambling. But in general, problem gambling means participation in any form of gambling that creates a negative consequence to the gambler, also to the gambler's family, their place of employment, and their community. The gambling treatment services are provided by 10 agencies, 10 funded agencies, through 58 main and satellite locations across the state to make sure that all 99 counties are served. We offer problem gambling treatment services for individual, group, and family counseling, concerned person treatment for those that are close to the gambler. These services provide support and direction on what family and friends should and shouldn't do to help themselves. We offer financial counseling. Obviously, it's money that drives the problem. And so we offer financial counseling to provide the person with skills and tools to regain some financial independence, some financial freedom. This year, we began offering distance treatment services, one of the first states in the country to take a look at what are some of the options that we can provide that will reduce the barriers for a person getting to treatment. Distance treatment basically is phone treatment over the phone, internet, or web-based. We adopted a evidence-based curriculum specifically for use in Iowa, taking into consideration specific dynamics in the state of Iowa. Currently, these services are offered statewide through 8 of the 10 providers that we have. We continue to offer transitional housing for individuals who have either lost their housing or whose housing really is not conducive for them to seeking the help that they need. And of course, education services for both at-risk populations who we try to target as well as for the general population. Last year, the program provided 4,814 hours of prevention services and served over 940 individuals with 16,713 hours of treatment and 5,716 days of transitional housing services. A service that I didn't mention, we don't consider it a treatment service per se, but it's the helpline. I'm sure you're all familiar with the 1-800-BETS-OFF helpline. So the helpline is available toll-free to Iowans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The goal is to provide information and referrals to individuals with problem gambling to get the help that they need. It's the immediate, quick way to get help. You can call 1-800-BETS-OFF and you're immediately connected with somebody from the helpline, and they can seamlessly transfer you to a treatment provider or counselor in the area which you live to begin that treatment process. Okay. How do we know what we do is effective? I think that's a really important question, especially today. We use a University of Northern Iowa. They have developed for the program the Iowa Gambling Treatment Outcome System. We started a project with them back in 2005. In general, the evaluation has consistently found that treatment is effective at reducing problem gambling behaviors. Persons who engage in problem gambling treatment have a much better chance of remaining free or mostly free from gambling activities, have reduced debt, and improved social functioning. 2008, every client that participated rated the program as either good or excellent. The funding structure is indicated on the back of the fact sheet that you have under funding. Basically, we receive 1.5% or 0.5% of gross lottery revenue and 0.5% of adjusted gross receipts from casinos. Also, any money or thing of value that has been obtained by a person who is self-excluded from the casinos in the state. It's capped at $6 million as well. Any additional funds then go to the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund. You can see for fiscal year 2009, we have roughly $4.2 million that directly fund the treatment and education and support services. $2.215 million go to substance abuse treatment. $181,145 is for the administration of the program through the Iowa Department of Public Health, and $100,000 for program licensure through the Department of Public Health. We have two surveys that we conduct annually. One is the BRFSS, Behavioral Risk Surveillance System, and as well as the Iowa Youth Survey. Both of those combined cost $9,000. And we had just over $100,000 in fiscal year 2008 claims that were paid out in 2009, so we needed to take those into consideration as well. Just wanted to cover real quick a couple things that we're covering this year in our strategic plan, activities that we're up to in 2009. The Iowa Gambling Treatment Program has an advisory committee, and it's made up of persons in recovery. It's made up of concerned individuals in the community, including the clergy. We have a retired judge on our advisory committee. We have representation from treatment providers. It's 11 individuals that provide guidance to the department on how to administer the program. They came up with a strategic plan for the department, and we adopted much of it, actually. 2009 strategic plan, we plan to continue to work with the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, Iowa Gaming Association, and state-funded treatment programs to create training content and frequency recommendations for casino employees on warning signs related to problem gambling, responsible gambling and treatment availability. We will be doing an analysis of youth education and prevention curriculum that's available on gambling and problem gambling, and collaborate with providers and Department of Education to provide age and grade appropriate recommendations on what is the best curriculum that's available. We continue to refine and develop the distance treatment options that we began this past year by providing training and technical assistance. We want to create a media campaign that highlights the benefits of early identification of problem gambling. We want to provide information and extend an offer of support to social and charitable gaming licensees, and continue our work in efforts to respond to SF 2425, which was legislation passed last session that will align problem gambling and substance abuse licensure and service delivery. Real quick, just a couple of things that we're doing in terms of SF 2425 to report back. For program licensure, we did a side-by-side comparison of gambling and substance abuse program licensure, and I identified requirements that can't be resolved by wordsmithing. Basically, they're too different for us to just to work with, and Basically, they're two different requirements. For example, substance abuse reports to the State Board of Health. Gambling reports to Iowa Department of Public Health for licensure. There would be two examples, or an example of a requirement that's different and we need to take to resolve. We have gone through and gotten feedback from all the relevant stakeholders for that, and are coming up with recommendations from those stakeholders, as well as conversations that we've had within the Department of Public Health, and drafting a combined licensure standards for release in March. The Iowa Plan for Behavioral Health, we've added gambling program references to the current Iowa Plan request for proposal. The new Iowa Plan will become effective January 1st, 2010. For as far as payment for gambling treatment services, we're transitioning to a unit of service reimbursement as opposed to actual or cost-based reimbursement, and we'll continue to move closer to substance abuse rates. For provider contracting, we are drafting a request for proposal for IDPH-funded substance abuse providers to be released next fall. We'll include requirements for gambling treatment in that. It's kind of the overview of where we are and where we hope to go within the next year or so. Be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Mark, I've got a quick one on, have you seen any increase or any indication from the youth surveys that there is an increase in gambling rates among our kids under the age of 18?
We just conducted that survey in, I want to say, November and December. Right. I'm still waiting for the results of that survey to come back. In general, I can draw on youth prevalence surveys in Nebraska, New York, Arizona. Youth are at an incredibly high risk for problem gambling. New York survey found that roughly 10% of youth would meet the criteria for problem gambling, which is significantly higher than the general adult population. With that, that informs us that even before these results are released, we need to pay attention to that. If you look at individuals that are coming to treatment, when do they that have disordered gambling, when do they begin gambling? They begin gambling in those late adolescent years. That's information that we need to consider when developing our prevention programs.
And Mark, are we doing a concerted effort in terms of prevention in our schools then with that?
Yes. Each one of the prevention or treatment providers now also provide prevention services. Take a lot of effort to try to connect with the schools. Okay. Is that enough? A lot of schools say, you know what, we have a lot of requirements that we need to get done, and so it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Hence, one of the strategic plan components that we're looking at is, why don't we take a look at developing what are nationally the best practices in prevention for specific age groups, for specific grade levels. We'll come up with that try to partner at a different level, at the Department of Education level, as opposed to trying to go at that lower level and begin making inroads in that way. I think it's really important to reach this population.
Thanks, Mark. I assume, is a lot of it online poker and that kind of thing, or is there, I assume they're not getting into the casinos, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by and large, they're not getting into casinos.
Okay.
By and large, what we're seeing is it's either online poker, Texas Hold'em, and parents' basements. You see, and this is anecdotal from providers, but you're seeing craps during school. So I think that you don't see gambling in the typical way that you're seeing adults gamble.
Right.
You see gambling
right.
happening in other ways.
Sure. Any other questions for Mark? Mark, thank you so much. We appreciate what you're doing and appreciate you coming today.